We have a wonderful scripture today. I remember this scripture from Vacation Bible School. I remember from places like Massanutta Springs and Montreat. The wonderful thing about ordinary time in the summer is we get to hear and we get to see again scriptures we don't usually do during Advent and Lent and Easter. So think of yourselves at camp today. Think of yourselves out in beautiful nature today. And may God bless us all today with the reading of his word. King Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He ate. He got up. He went further on to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, by the way, where God appeared to Moses. And our story picks up again at verse 9. At that place, Elijah came to a cave and he spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." Yahweh said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I'm going to read a little more. He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, have killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." This, my friends, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us through this old Bible story today. Challenge us, shake us, soothe us, call us, reassure us, bless us. Bless us each, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't you let nobody steal your joy. Elijah, the chief protagonist, the wannabe hero of our old Bible story text today. Elijah, no, Elijah. Perhaps some of us will remember Elijah from Sunday school, from Vacation Bible School. Walter Brueggemann writes of Elijah as one of the giants of the Old Testament, ferocious, uncompromising, able to heal, do, accomplish the kind of amazing things nobody else would have ever thought possible. Elijah, this was the guy to come into an economy of scarcity and not enough, where a widow was about to starve to death. But then Elijah would create abundance for her, a jug of meal and a jar of oil that would never, ever, ever run out. Elijah, he was the guy with the gift of life. After the widow's son died, this very same widow, Elijah came back and prayed and brought the child back to life. Everybody thought that was impossible. Couldn't happen. Everybody except Elijah. He could work miracles, even in the face of death. Elijah, in an ancient time, not unlike our own, where the public scene seemed to be falling apart, where leadership seemed to be failing, Elijah, he was the one thundering at the shenanigans and schemes of the big winners, the ones taking all the land, the wealth, the money from the little people. Elijah, he was the one to confront phony religion, the prophets of Baal, what we would now call a religion of consumerism. Elijah, he was the one announcing for all to hear, that kind of religion is phony. It cannot satisfy. It will not keep us safe. Cannot cause joy. Only the God of the Bible will give life. Elijah, oh Elijah, super saint, the one able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. He was the one pouring his heart out, his very life racing, running, always doing, overfunctioning, no let up, without a stop. But what you need to know is not everyone was impressed, happy, because however amazing, compelling, mesmerizing Elijah had been, this guy was dangerous, meddling, upsetting to those with a vested interest, the status quo, in constantly speaking truth to power, embarrassing, showing up the Queen Jezebel. It's good to be king, it's good to be queen, but it's not good to upset the queen. She hated him. She turned on him, decreeing an oath to kill in verse 4 of our text, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, Elijah, if I don't take your life by this time tomorrow." What was it Shakespeare said? "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." Her blood thrust through him. And so it says in verse 5, he was afraid. He got up and he ran for his life. "Elijah, oh Elijah, don't you let nobody steal the joy out of you." But she did, vengeful Jezebel. And so, shaken to his core, Elijah ran for his life all the way down to Beersheba, close to 99 miles, all the way to the southern tip of the kingdom, at the edge of the frontier, the desert, desolate country, nothing there, uninhabitable, where surely he must have thought to himself, Finally, Jezebel's goons, they won't be able to reach me. And he fell to the ground exhausted. Don't you let nobody. But he sure did let her get in his head. Not only that, it gets worse. Continuing on, we read, Elijah asked that he might die, saying, praying, "Oh Lord, it's enough now. I've had enough. Take away my life." He longs to die, worn out, turned out, run down, burned out, nothing left. He longs to die. "Oh, Elijah, Elijah, don't you let nobody steal the joy out of you, not even you, not even you, yourself." Henry Nouwen, a noted Catholic priest and author, shares what this must have been like, what it was like, in his own super saint life. "Here I'd been so self-important," he writes, "busy, pushing, doing, accomplishing so much until one day everything came crashing down. My self-esteem, my energy to live and work, my sense of being loved, my hope of any healing, my trust in God, everything gone, just gone. Here I was, a teacher, a pastor, a writer of the spiritual life, someone who loves God and gives hope to so many other people. Now flat on my face, in total darkness, Elijah, oh Elijah, you and you, me. Don't you let nobody, not even you, yourself." Nouwen goes on to add, fatigue, depression, burnout. "It's all so strange. You can push it away for such a long time. You can go automatic pilot, especially when there's so many busy routine things to do. But when finally the space and time are there to do something new, creative, imaginative, all the repressed fear, fatigue, anxiety comes back like a flood, paralyzes me. And Barbara Brown Taylor puts it even more pointedly. It seems to me some of us have made an idol of exhaustion, she writes. Only time we ever think we've done enough is when we're running on empty, and the ones we love are the ones we see the least. And when we lie down at night, we offer up our full appointment calendars to God in lieu of prayer, believing that God, who's as busy as we are, surely will understand. And but Elijah was done. Elijah was spent. Not done running, though. In the text, he staggers on farther and farther on out into desolation, bleak desert, finally making it to Horeb, Mount Sinai, the mountain of Moses. Such an interesting choice, by the way. Halfway up Mount Sinai, holed up in a cave, musing to himself, then accosted by God, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "What am I doing here? Look, Lord, I've been so faithful, zealous, fervent for you. But as for everyone else, them, they've all forsaken you, betrayed, let me down, let you down, turned on me, and now me, I'm the only one left. They want to kill Elijah." Oh, Elijah, holed up in his cave, confronted by God, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah needs to hear a word from the Lord. "Get up. Go out," says Yahweh. "Stand on the mountain." And now there was a great wind, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And after that, fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And but then after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Silence? Lord, have mercy on me when I think I'm the only one left. Elijah needed to hear that word from the Lord. What did he hear? What did he hear? Silence? In the silence? I don't know about you. Time for true confession. But I've never been all that comfortable with silence. Never much like meditation, spiritual contemplation, sitting still. Me, like Elijah, I'd rather be out doing something, running around, working, doing, pushing, helping. But hello, darkness, my old friend, sang Simon and Garfunkel back in the 60s. I've come to talk with you again. Not me. Not me. Silence, darkness, they've never seemed like friends to me, but should they be? What is the sound of silence? Oh, Elijah, Elijah, me, Jim, don't let the earthquake, wind, and fire, life's busyness, frantic pace, you're running around all the time, steal life's joy from you, purpose, your peace. What is the sound of silence? Frederick Buechner helps me, us, know what it is not, sharing what deadens us most to the presence of God in our hearts. What is it, he says? God's. It's the inner noise. That constant, constant inner dialogue we're continuously engaged in within ourselves, the endless chatter of our human thought. He writes, "I suspect there's nothing more crucial to true spiritual comfort than being able from time to time to time to stop. Stop all the banter. If we but choose to seek the silence of the holy place or to open ourselves to its seeking, what is the sound of silence? Don't you let nobody, nothing, drown that out. What's the sound of sheer silence?" In thinking and preparing for this sermon, I ran across some interesting, insightful thoughts from the world of music. Listen, hear, hear. For as Mozart said, the music is not in the notes, but in the silence in between. Music is in the silence between the notes, Claude Debussy. A note of music gains its significance from the silence on either side, wrote Anne Morrow Lindbergh. In music, silence is more important than sound, Miles Davis. Music expresses the joy which cannot be put into words and which cannot remain silent. Victor Hugo. What did Elijah hear on that mountain in the sheer silence? What was he able to? What do we need to? Again, Frederick Buechner is helpful. He writes, "An empty room is silent, but a room where people are not speaking or moving is quiet. Silence is a given. Quiet, a gift. Quiet chooses to be silent. It holds its breath to listen. It waits and is still. Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46 says. Quiet is a gift. "In returning and rest, you shall be saved," says God through the prophet Isaiah. "In quietness and trust shall be your strength." Quiet is a gift. See, God was not in the earthquake, wind, and fire. God was in the sound of sheer quiet. So, shh, be still, quiet. Stop all the noise coming from life's constant 24-hour blaring, breaking news cycle. Stop being taken in by all the attention-grabbing influencer freaks and politicians. Stop being run into the ground by your own anxious need to be in control, to do, accomplish, prove that you are some somebody super saint. Stop drowning, being so thrown off by the endless chatter of your own thoughts, fears, anxiety. Stop all the busyness, and this summer, this day, this week, when you can, rest, sit still, embrace the quiet, recharge like what happened to Elijah. It's the only way to stop the pity party. Stop. Time now to watch, as Eugene Peterson says. Just watch what God is doing when you're not doing anything. Be still, quiet, shh, to get back to the real you. Be still, the psalmist says. Know that I am God, and you are not. I find it so interesting, this account of pity party, Elijah's encounter with God on that mountain. What are you doing here, Elijah? Now get up, get out. Out of your cave, stop and see, experience the real presence of God, to know that I am. And I find it fascinating what the Lord in our text then next says to Elijah, after Elijah's sitting still, just simply watching what God was doing while he, Elijah, was not. And what does God say? What does God say? Get up, commands Yahweh. Go back. Back to your mission, back to your calling. Return now, knowing, trusting, I am the one God now, and not you, foolish, vain, overachieving, carrying the weight of the whole world on your shoulders, you deluded super saint, you. I am the true God. You don't have to be. You don't need to be. And I will be with you every step of your way. So Elijah, oh Elijah, don't give up. Don't you ever give in. Don't you let nobody, no way, steal the joy, life, your call, life's purpose out of you. For says God, I am not done yet bringing plenty out of an economy of scarcity. I am not done yet bringing life into the midst of death. I am not done yet exposing phony religion that will not work. I am not done yet confronting the greedy people and greedy systems that trample the little ones. I am not done yet making a difference, and neither are you. Trust me, Elijah. Just trust me, Bob and Jean and Joan and Jan and Cheryl and Robert and Candace and Bill, all of you. Be still, the Lord says, and know that I am God. So I want you to help me finish this sermon today. Hope you'll want to do that. I'd like you to repeat after me a few phrases to make our point. Be still and know that I am God. Please join with me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am.
Be still and know.
Be still. Know. Be. Be. Amen and amen.